Me, the Old Testament to the Psalms, Psalm 90. Psalm 90, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word and read just a few verses of Scripture. Psalm 90, we'll begin reading verse number 9. Psalm 90 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I would like you to turn in the New Testament, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 24. We've been going through the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights just to help us to see the times and the days that are before us, if you will. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus is speaking, verse number 1. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." The Bible teaches us in Psalm 90 that we're to number our days. The Bible teaches us that in the end times there's going to be difficult days, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in divers places, famine, pestilences. Think about it. Are these those days? Is this the time? The Bible says, Paul was writing, says, "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, blasphemers, covetous, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Are these the last times? According to what the Bible says, this could very well describe the last days. This could be the last moments of time in this world. So I believe when we go back to Psalm 90 and we read where the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom," that we must be busy numbering our days and using them wisely. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray that you'll help me tonight to say that which needs to be said. I pray for thy divine strength and thy divine anointing. There's absolutely no way I can do this without you. Lord, if I do it in the energy of the flesh, then it'll be a failure. But Lord, if the power of the Spirit would somehow use me tonight, then we'd go away from here closer to thee and encouraged in thy word and helped. And I pray that you would do that. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me and give me the unction, enable me, Lord, to preach with power and with wisdom thy blessed word. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible's teaching us in Psalm 90 that all of our days are passed away in wrath, in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. There's a story that goes along with our life. There's a tale, if you will, that's told about our lives. And the Bible says in verse number 10, it teaches us some things about the days of our years are 70 years, which are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Tonight we realize that the average lifespan of people are between 70 and 80 years of age. We have an understanding that when we reach 70, many have decent health, but the closer they get to 80, it seems like many's health starts failing. The Bible is so clear. But as we look at this, we realize that life at its longest is short. My grandmother's 97 years old. I know you've heard me say that many times, 97, and if the Lord allows her to live in about a month, she's going to be 98 years old. Born in the year 1910, think about it. She went through the Great Depression. She said she went through it and didn't know what happened, but she went through it. They didn't have any money. They didn't lose anything. She went through the Great Depression. She went through World War I, World War II. She saw the Korean War and Vietnam. She saw presidents that we can only think of as being way back in history, Roosevelt's. And you think about it. Think about all that she's seen in America. Think about the things that have happened. And when you talk to her, she says, it seems like just yesterday I was a little girl trusting the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And it's just a little old girl in school. They came and they brought him out of school. They took him from the schoolhouse down to the church house. Revival was going on at night, so during the day they would take all the students to the schoolhouse, and there the preacher would preach. Boy, I'd like to have it like that again, wouldn't you? We can't have God into school anymore because it's dangerous for our children. You can have guns, but not God in school. By the way, I believe everybody has a right to bear arms. So don't misunderstand me. But I just don't think that it's right to take them to school with you, right? You understand what I'm saying? We see all these things, and she says, it seems like just a few days ago. And she starts now, she's to the point where she can vividly remember her childhood. But the last few years are not quite as clear to her, you understand. Most of us have seen people like that. But she said, it seems like life is so short. She's 97. That's a long time. That's a real long time. I'm 41 and I think, man, you know, 97, that's... You remember when you used to think 30 was old? How many remember thinking 30 was old? I remember thinking as a little boy that 30 was ancient. You know, you're about to die when you're 30. And just like that. But God says, teaching us through the Psalms, that 70 to 80 years old is an average life. But God, in His infinite wisdom, measures our lifespan not by years, but by days. And He says that we are to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Notice what He says, so teach us. If we want to be able to accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be taught. Teach us to number our days. That word number means to prepare our days, to set our days, to allot, to weigh it out. Our days are precious, and we should live in preparation and in understanding that this is a day that the Lord has made, that this is the day that God has given me to live, and I need to live this day for Him, and I need to number this day. This day is an important day in my life because God has given it to me, and I must live it for Him. As we look and we see the wars and the rumors of wars, and we see the pestilences and the famines and the earthquakes and all the things that are going on around the world, I'm convinced we are so close to the coming of the Lord, and it is very important that we live our days and we number our days and we set our days, we allot our days unto wisdom, that we may be used of God to accomplish His will. We get to this point of the year and school's getting ready to get out and summertime comes on and lots of traveling and lots of things like that. And a lot of times people get out of church during the summer. But I want you to know it's not wise to miss those days. It's not wise to miss the house of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's very wise to be faithful, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I encourage you during this summer to find yourself in the house of the Lord. If you're on vacation, find yourself faithful to the house of God. When you're in town, be here. Encourage one another in the Lord and be faithful. But our days are so precious. And we need to number those days. We need to set those days, to allot those days. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, that we're to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look, if you just let life happen, you just go out, you know, say whatever. If you don't prepare yourself, I want you to know your days are going to be wasted. And the days are evil, and we're living that. We're living in evil times, but we're to redeem the time. We're to make wise use of our time. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. How many days do we have left? When's Jesus coming? Well, he's coming, you know, June the 14th, 2008. We don't know when he's coming. We just know that he is. But it could be that he comes on May the 14th at 8 p.m. 16 minutes. He could. I don't know when he's coming, but I know that he's coming. And dear friend, when he's coming, wouldn't you want him to find us using our days wisely? Don't you want him to be able to find us doing with our life his will, that we give our life to doing God's will and redeeming the time and walking in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time? So let's make our days count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's live our life numbering our days, setting, allotting, weighing out, preparing. I've got four things that ought to be a part of every day of our lives. Four things that ought to be a part of every day of our lives. First of all, there ought to be preparation. Preparation. We ought to prepare our days to do the Lord's will. You know, if you don't plan, you understand what I'm saying, to do with your life God's will, you just won't do it. Honestly, it's hard enough. You know, we're fighting a battle here. There is an enemy, and it's the devil. And all he wants to do is fill your time up, and not always with bad things, but with things that are not God's will for your life. And what you'll do is you'll waste a whole day and not do what God wants you to do with that day. God's will is a lot better than our will for our lives. And so we have to make preparation. I love what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17. This is how we make preparation. It's through the Word of God. The Bible says, if you'll look with me, Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 11. Paul is writing here, well, he's given us a testimony here of some things in Acts chapter 17. And he's had this trouble, if you will, at Thessalonica. And we find that he's the founder of a church there. Well, the Bible teaches us in chapter 17, verse 4, that there was some that consorted with Paul and Silas. They believed and they consorted. That was the birth of a church. And we find out, though, that in that city there were many Jews that did not believe. And they were fighting against Paul and against Silas. And they were going after them. And they were trying to get rid of them. And they ran them out of town. They even called them those that turned the world upside down in verse number 6. Well, they didn't like them. They troubled the people and the rulers, and when they heard these things, we see this. So Paul and Silas goes from there, and they go to Berea. And the Bible says in verse number 10, Acts 17, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures weekly, whether those things were so. Daily? You mean we have to
Read the Bible daily. You mean we need God's Word in our life every day? If you want your day to count for God, preparation for that day is the Word of God. These at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures, they searched the Word of God, and they found daily in their lives the Word of God impacting their lives. And because of that, they were ready to receive what God had for them. You know, if you go throughout your life and you go throughout your days and you neglect the Word of God, this is what's going to happen. You're going to starve. You're not going to hear a word from God. You're not going to hear what God's will is for you that day. And you're going to waste a day, and you're not going to apply your hearts unto wisdom. But when we make preparation, when we seek the will of God and we get in the Word of God, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. God is going to speak to you through His Holy Scriptures and through His Holy Spirit, and He's going to make Himself clear to you that He has a plan for your life. Oh, by the way, we all have plans, dreams, visions, goals. But we need to realize that God's plan is greater. And if our plan doesn't line up with God's plan, what we need to do is wipe our plans off the menu and just get in there with God's plan. Make preparations. These Bereans were able to be instructed because they were in the Scriptures. They were able to hear what God had to say. And we can be prepared for whatever we face when we're daily in the Scriptures. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How does He teach us? Well, He writes messages in the sky. Just a few weeks ago, my daughter was going to Orlando to play in a ball game, am I right? And there was an airplane riding in the sky, writing a message with the whatever they send out, smoke. And it said, I think God loves you. Is that what? Jesus? Turn to God. Well, that's well and good. How does somebody turn to God? They find about Him in the Scriptures. God speaks to us through His precious Word. I've always said there's three ways God speaks to us: through the Scriptures, through the Spirit, and through His servants, right? God gives us people, right? But He gives us the Scriptures, and He gives us His Spirit. And dear friends, numbering our days involves preparation. If you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow for the Lord and in God's will, then I want you to know right now you're going to waste tomorrow. Prepare. Not only is there preparation that ought to be a part of your day, prayer ought to be a part of your day. Right? I believe God's given us the greatest privilege in all the world. Look, I can go into the very throne room of God. Me. An old sinner. But I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says I'm able to enter into the holiest through the blood of Jesus. We see in the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17. Here's that place it was given. Paul, such a fit. It says, pray without ceasing. He's writing to these Christians at Thessalonica, and he says, look, pray without ceasing. That means we ought to always be able to be in the attitude, not only in the attitude of prayer, but we're always able to speak with God. Praying without ceasing requires us to live a life that honors the Lord. If we regard iniquity in our heart, then God does not hear our prayers. We have to get that taken care of. You understand that? God does hear the prayer of sinners. Now, we find that in the Bible. Please don't misunderstand me. But as Christians, as believers, when we're living in sin, our prayer life cannot be what it's supposed to be. We have to get that taken care of. We have to get that right, you know? Our sins were judged, yes, at the cross of Calvary. But dear friends, we're going to face the consequences of sin as long as we're here in this world. But when we get before the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins will have already been taken care of because Jesus paid it all. But God has now given us the privilege of prayer so that we can live for Him. God speaks to us as we prepare for our days through the Scriptures, through the Spirit, and through the servants. But I want you to know, we speak to God through prayer. And it's part of our day. It's part of what God wants to be in our day, every day of our lives. And according to the Scripture, every moment of every day, we ought to be in that prayerful attitude to pray without ceasing. The Bible says in the Psalm 55, verse 17, I love what this says. Verse 16, David's writing, he said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Look at this, Psalm 55, verse 17. He said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Evening and morning and at noon. And we understand the Jewish day, of course, starts in the evenings, our evenings. But this is also talking about preparation and prayer. Because before the next work day, the day of labor, He says, "I'm going to begin my day the evening before in prayer. I'm going to close out my day in prayer, and I'm going to open up my day in prayer, and I'm going to pray throughout the day." Isn't that wonderful? By the way, David was known as a man after what? God's own heart. And then I wonder how he got there. I wonder how he has that testimony. David wasn't perfect, was he? David made a lot of mistakes. But the Bible clearly says he was a man after God's own heart. And here's one of the secrets. He was a man of prayer. Evening and morning and at noon, he says, "Will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Dear friends, we waste our days when there is no prayer. Every day, if we're going to number our days, that we apply our hearts unto wisdom, there needs to be preparation, there needs to be prayer. Number three, there needs to be praise. We need to learn to praise and adore our Lord. I tell you, some Christians I meet, they go around with such a long face. You just wonder, where's the joy of serving Jesus? We're enduring the journey instead of enjoying the journey. I tell you, when you get out of the endurance and just start enjoying it, life's a lot better. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's happiness in serving the Lord. There's peace that's there. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The psalmist said, "This is the day." What day? This day. This day that we're living in. The psalmist was saying, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Look, every day you live is a day that God has given you. And that day is a day that we are to rejoice and to be glad for the day. Number our days. Weigh it out. A lot. Set some things in order that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "Rejoice evermore." We number our days, we realize it belongs to God and that He lends it to us. And as He lends it to us, we are to rejoice evermore. Back in the Psalm 145, it's a beautiful psalm. If you look with me there, David says in this psalm of praise, as you see the heading, "I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever." Every what? Day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I'd like to say that I'm convinced that we've had a generation that's forgotten about praising the Lord
every day. Because we have now a generation that knows nothing about it, that doesn't understand what it is to give our days to the Lord and to lift Him up and to praise Him. There's different ways to praise the Lord. It's not talking about running and shouting and hooping and hollering. We praise the Lord as we go throughout our day. We praise Him when we're eating. We thank the Lord for the provision. When we get in our vehicle, we're thanking God for that vehicle and then for the gas to drive that vehicle. And we thank God that He's given us everything that we have. We start praising the Lord for what He's done for us. I'm going to tell you something. When you start looking around and you realize everything you do, God's doing something for you, there's this attitude of praise that just begins to happen. But there's three things I think that ought to be evident that we ought to be praising the Lord for every day. Number one, we ought to be praising Him for His grace. Because that's what brings us our salvation. Every day we ought to be praising the Lord for His grace. Number two, every day we ought to be praising the Lord for His mercy. Because that's how He sustains us. We see His salvation. We see His sustenance, His mercy. Grace is what? Grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us something that we do deserve. He sustains us. But not only do we need to praise Him for His grace, which is our salvation, and His mercy, which is our sustaining, we need to praise Him for His peace. That's our satisfaction. I'm going to tell you something. I'm satisfied with the Lord. I have great peace in my life because I know Him. We waste our days when we don't praise Him. If this is part of our life, I want to tell you something, it'll be easier to serve the Lord. We won't have the difficulty in serving the Lord. There ought to be preparation part of every day. Prayer ought to be a part of every day. Praise ought to be a part of every day. But this last one, I want you to listen. The preeminence of Christ ought to be a part of every day. All these other things will put Christ in His rightful place. In the New Testament, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And then in verse number 18, it goes on and says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence." That's a good word. Not the priority, the preeminence. My wife is the preeminent lady in my life. She's not on a list. She's not one of. She's the one and only. Amen? And that's the way the Lord Jesus says He is to be. We don't put Him on a list with all these other things. It's not Jesus first. He's on a list all by Himself. He is the preeminent one. He's the one, the only one. And dear friends, if we make Him the preeminent one each and every day, what a difference it'll make. What a difference it'll make in our lives. It'll change the way we look at things. It'll change the words we say and the places we go and the things we watch and the things we hear and the way we dress and the way we act and everything when He has the preeminence each and every day. It's not like we get up and say, "All right, Lord, you know, I've got a list and I'm going to put you on here somewhere." No. "All right, Lord, this is the day You've given to me. I'm prepared for it. I'm praying. I'm praising You for what You've done. Lord, I want You to know that this day is Your day. And all I want to accomplish today is Your will." By the way, when you're accomplishing His will, you'll be the right kind of employee. You'll be the right kind of spouse. You'll be the right kind of parent, grandparent. The right kind of sibling when He has the preeminence. That's why it's important that every day we make sure that He is preeminent. in our lives. So teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. I get so busy with life that sometimes I don't prepare the way I should prepare. And sometimes I don't pray. Token prayers, you know. Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for His food. By His hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, the daily bread. Sometimes that's the extent of some people's prayer life. I want you to know, if that's the extent of our prayer life, then as adults, as somebody that's been saved for a while, Christ does not have the preeminence. Then as you begin to pray, as you begin reading the Scripture, and you begin praying, you know what happens? Praise. See, that's a devotional life. All we've done tonight is look in the Scripture, and we found out this is how I can have a devotional life. Not just have my daily devotions, but have a devotional life. The Word of God starts coming in. That's we start feeding on that. George Mueller, if you've got Christian Life Journal, you've seen this. George Mueller talks about soul nourishment first, and he learned the secret to living this Christian life. And it was soul nourishment first. He didn't get up and just start praying. He got up and started reading and letting God speak to him. And as he would come to things in the Bible, God would work in his heart and he would begin to pray. He'd begin to prepare and then begin to pray. Then out of that came praise. And then through all that, Christ started having the preeminence. And if you know anything about the life of George Mueller, you know here was a man that came from nothing and was mean and rotten, but he got saved. He grew up and he gave everything he had to the work of the Lord. And he started all these orphanages and had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children that would come into these orphanages and they would pray. And he would not even put out a report because he didn't want to accept it. He just wanted God to do something and God to provide. They would go to bed many times without food for breakfast. And he learned to trust God. And before morning came, everything they needed was there. It's an amazing thing. Y'all read his life story. It's a great book. Dear friends, I want you to know tonight, if we'll number our days, give God our days, they'll be filled with preparation, prayer, praise, and He will have the preeminence. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy and grace. And thank You for Your precious Word. I pray, Lord, that You've helped us tonight to grow in Thee. I pray that this night will be a night that will help us as we see the times that are about us. We see all the things that are happening with wars and pestilences and famines. See all the earthquakes and natural disasters. Lord, we realize that You've given us the days that we have. Lord, You've put us here in this world for such a time as this. So Lord, teach us to number our days. We apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to live our life for Thee. And teach us, Lord, to walk with Thee and to talk with Thee and to live for Thee and to bring others to Thee. Lord, when we come down to the end of our days, I pray that we'll be able to look back across our life. And Lord, that You'd be able to meet us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We'll thank You for what You do. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, Brother Chris is going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment.